Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello and welcome to Off the Beat and Track podcast. I'm your host, I'm Stu Whiffin. It's another week, therefore it's another episode. Today's episode, brace yourself for this, David Duchovny. I mean, I don't know how many of you grew up, you know, worshipping at the Church of X-Files. Unbelievable. David's a musician and has a great record collection, which we talk about on this episode. And he's really bloody lovely. You're in for a treat. Before we get on with the episode, a few thank yous. I would love to thank... go check out Anyone Can Play Guitar podcast, because the gents over there were the people that put this together for me, and so huge thanks to the guys at Anyone Can Play Guitar podcast, which is another wonderful music podcast. Thanks to Erica for helping facilitate this as well. Big love to Scroobius Pip and everybody at the Distraction Pieces Network. Thank you to 76 for producing the audio. And if this is your first time listening to Off the Beaten Track, then when you get to the end of today's chat with David, then go and explore the back catalogue, because you can hear me talking to artists as diverse as the Foo Fighters, Fatboy Slim, Motley Crue, Papa Roach, through to actors such as Amanda Abington, Joe Hartley, Maxine Peake, Michael Smiley, producers like Butch Vig. Go and have a look in the archives, because there's 320 odd episodes now with all your favourite artistic people. Can you say, is that a thing? I don't know. Just go check it out. And if you'd like to support the podcast, there's loads of ways in which you can do that. Just give us a like, love, share, or a retweet on the socials, because we're on all the platforms. And subscribe, that's a really good way of helping. But if you'd like to help a bit more and get access to even more content, then I have a Patreon, spelled patreon.com/offthebeatandtrack. And over there, it's like a sort of social media page, really, and you sign up for 79p a month, and you get access to, I think I've probably uploaded about 250 radio shows over there. You can watch all of the episodes, all the video episodes go up over there. And there's loads of upfront releases. There's all sorts of stuff over there. And that 79p a month goes in the kitty to help pay for the podcast and to you know, ensure that I keep churning out, you know, 3 or 4 episodes a week for you lovely lot. But you can find out about everything you need to know at www.offthebeatandtrackpodcast.com. Right, let's get on with it. Ladies and gentlemen, enjoy Off the Beat and Track podcast with David Duchovny. Right, I've got to take a quick break in this podcast because I've got some super exciting news. Off the Beat and Track podcast is proud to go into partnership with the Cacao Bar from Hotel Chocolat. That's right. The Cacao Bar is not a chocolate bar. It's all the best bits of a chocolate bar put into a really exciting new alcoholic range. That's right. Gin, vodka, and a beautiful range of cream liqueurs. So one of the big bonuses of this partnership is obviously I'm super thrilled to have Hotel Chocolat working with us, but they sent me a great big box of this stuff. And I'm telling you, it's amazing. Go and check it out, www.hotelchocolat.com, or over on the socials at Hotel Chocolat. But yeah, in the coming months, there's going to be opportunities for you to get involved with competitions with us, to win bottles of stuff. There's loads of exciting things coming soon, and I can't be more happy to say that this podcast is in partnership with the Cacao Bar from Hotel Chocolat. All right, let's get back to the podcast. It's Off the Beaten Track Podcast on the Distraction Pieces Network. With me, Stu, with him. Okay, we are recording. David, how are you doing today?
I'm really good. How are you?
I'm radiant and glowing. The sun is shining in Essex in the UK today. Really appreciate your time. I know that we're going to be pretty pushed for time, so I want to jump straight in and talk records with you.
I was in London this past winter for about 3 months shooting a movie called The Bubble with Judd Apatow, and so your accent is bringing back fond memories.
Wonderful. That's a great start then. Yeah. But I'd like to start the podcast by asking you to tell me the song that you think has the greatest ever intro, please.
Oh, I think it's Gimme Shelter by the Stones. That or the live version of Sweet Jane by Lou Reed, which we play. My band and I play in concert. We do the live Lou Reed version. It takes about 4 minutes. It's like a 4 minute intro. It's fantastic. But I love that every time the Gimme Shelter intro comes on, I get excited.
Yeah, it's like that song is, it just builds and builds and builds and builds. And I think Jack has got a really interesting voice. I don't think he's necessarily got a particularly powerful voice.
No.
But whatever, it just delivers, doesn't it? And it just kind of, what I'm saying?
Absolutely. His voice is unique. You hear Jagger, you know it's Jagger. It's like there's no question that it's anybody else. And that's a gift. The voice in that song is the backup singer. When she comes in at the end, it's like, my speakers can't handle her tone. I get tingles just thinking about her and her voice. And it's so hard to sing that hard, that high, and not be abrasive. And that's a voice. But yeah, Nick's voice is, he's got point of view. You know, when Mick sings, you feel what he's talking about. You know, you feel he has opinions about what he's saying. He's in it. He's in the song. And that's important in a voice, too. I mean, more important to me than, like, technical stuff.
And you touched on that the backing singer. And I feel like, I feel a bit bad that I don't know her name. But
she was in 7 Feet from Stardom, or that doc.
That's right.
And
And she... It does sound like I heard someone once say about the middle eight in River Deep Mountain High. It felt like somebody set light to Tina Turner, and she just unloads. And that could be said for that. Yeah. It just feels like she's on fire, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's like remarkable vocal.
But you know, what's also interesting is that on YouTube there's a couple of versions where the Stones are doing Gimme Shelter with, I think, Lady Gaga, and then with Fergie, who do that. And they do a really good job. I mean, I would not want to get near that part,
It's an ambitious one to take on, isn't it?
It is. I mean, I knew that Lady Gaga has an amazing instrument. I didn't know Fergie could sing like that. And she does really well there. Yeah. You should check it out.
I just want to ask about songwriting, and we've kicked off with the Stones, which obviously, yes, they're still going now, but the Stones first started putting records out in the 60s.
Yeah.
And just in regards to how people listen to music now, the way that people get music's way different to probably how me and you would go to a record store, buy a record, take it home, study the sleeve notes, and put a record on. Whereas now, you know, I watch my children with their fast thumbs just whizzing through, you know, and the attention spans against them. I just wonder when you sit down, if you when you write, are any of them things considerations? The fact that, you know, attention spans are getting shorter, you know, do you feel you need to hook them quicker, or are you very traditional in the art is art?
Yeah, I'm more traditional. I did read an article recently that was talking about how, you know, the concept of the hook has changed in the past few years. And like, you know, the hook is like in the first 5 seconds now.
Yeah.
You know, it's literally the hook. And then, you know, there's no traditional like verse, chorus, verse, bridge, chorus, you know, anymore to a pop song. But I'm hopelessly stuck, you know, in that era, because that's when I was listening. And that's, I've started to make music recently, so that's in my head when I want to write a song. And to me, I mean, there's something, I'm not going to say anything negative about those kinds of songs, but to me, a song is a little like a journey. You know, you ask about an intro, so that's like the first act, you know, and then there's a few acts, and there's some kind of something has changed by the end of it. And when you're just doing like hook heavy songs, it's like, no, nothing changes. It's just keep on giving you the candy over and over and over again. And I guess, you know, just naturally I'm more receptive to the kind of song that takes me, starts me slowly, lays the hook on me in the chorus maybe, and then or the bridge, and then, you know, takes me somewhere else.
I'm with you, brother. Absolutely, I'm with you on that completely. Listen up, I've only got another new sponsor, Egg Fried. It's this super cool clothing label. And if you're into sort of skating and street art and gigging and kind of like really cool art and throwing a little bit of Asian culture and the designer's kind of weird sense of humor in the mix, then you're pretty much there with the wonderful world that is eggfried.com. Now, they do these amazing punchy kind of graphic tees, hoodies and sweatshirts, beautiful art prints, as well as this. They have a denim range, all handmade in-house, all supporting the slow fashion movement. Not only that, they've given you a discount code, 10% off when you head over to eggfried.com. Just use the code EGGSALAD, E-G-G-S-A-L-A-D, save 10%. Go and get lost in the world of Egg Fried. Also, they've got a new kids range, and it's called Small Fried, and it's super cool, super cute. And again, it's all over there in this wonderful world. Go and get involved at eggfried.com. I'm going to take you back for track two, David, and I'm going to ask you to tell me the first song you remember hearing that had an emotional impact on you, please.
I think I said Grazing in the Grass.
You did.
Did I say Grazing? You might have to remind me, because I told, you know, when they gave me these questions. For the podcast, I was like, you know, these are my answers today. I bet tomorrow they'd be different, you know?
Of course.
Which is, I think, a great thing. I don't think that means it's bullshit. I think it means it's kind of, you should do
totally.
You should do something like every year, go after the same person and ask him the same questions, and it'll change. But Grazing in the Grass, not necessarily an emotional song, but I just remember, talk about hooks. I mean, it was just, it hooked me. Like, I remember as a kid, and I think it was just like, you know how kids get into like, kids are susceptible to like gimmick songs, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and so Grazing in the Grass had that, they just sang really fast. You know, it was like, I can dig it, he can dig it, she can dig it, you know, it was like that. It was like, as a kid, I was like, how, you know, oh God, how do they sing so fast? And it was just, it like blew my little mind, you know? So it was, I just loved the song, and I had the 45, and I, over and over and over, pick up the needle, put it back, pick up the needle, put it back.
Are you still like that? If you find a record now, or if you hear a new track that hooks you in, will you literally start again?
But I just can press repeat now, so I don't have
It's easy now, isn't it? So growing up, was you sort of in a, was home very musical?
Well, not in the sense of playing instruments, but in the sense of listening to music. My dad had a reel-to-reel tape recorder.
Yeah.
And he had lots of jazz recordings. He didn't have any albums. We didn't have, I guess we had a phonograph player when the kids got older, because we bought albums, but And I had, you know, my parents played me stories on albums, like instead of like having to read me every night, or if I was having trouble sleeping, there were these stories that were recorded onto, you know, vinyl. So I had a phonograph for that. But my dad listened, constantly to like big bands. My dad was born in 27. So his music was from the 40s, early 50s. He loved Billie Holiday. He loved big bands. He loved the jazz, you know, and I hated it. You know, I was like, my dad's music. I couldn't stand it. And I still have to get into it. You know, I haven't made peace with it, you know, because as a kid, I was just like, I hate jazz. I hate it. And I'm sure it's great. I just had never gotten over that. Yeah. The initial like onslaught of my dad monopolizing the airwaves, you know.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Well, it's not cool to like what your dad likes, is it, when you're growing up? That's the most uncoolest thing ever. But it is weird. It's like it's took me so long to kind of, you know, get my head around jazz. And I'm still nowhere near an expert. You know, I'm all the basics, you know. Right. It's like, Miles Davis, I'll buy that. That's the one that everyone said, check that out. But I'll still, people will wig out playing these huge, you know, expansive jazz. It's not for me.
I got into Coltrane, though. I listened to Coltrane. Yeah. And, but that's after my dad, you know. And you know, I'll hear Billie Holiday and I'll be like, yeah, I hear that. But the swing bands like Benny Goodman and that stuff that he'd listen to, I never got back into that.
Yeah. Well, for track three, I'm going to ask you to tell me, please, and I can prompt you if you've forgot this one. The song that reminds you of your time at school, please, David.
Oh, yeah, prompt me. What did I say?
You went for Mr. Magic by Grover Washington.
Oh, yeah. Wow. I can't believe I said that. Talk about
jazz. It's changed already.
There's jazz. It just means it was in my head. You know, I'd actually been talking to an old friend of mine who was on the basketball team with me in high school, and we used to come out like the jocks that we were. We would blast Mr. Magic on the gym stereo, and we'd come out like bosses, you know, for our warmups. And I just remember how good that felt. You know, I don't know if you know the song. It's an instrumental. It's kind of a funky, groovy, kind of jazzy song. And it was just it just made us feel confident and made us feel like this was our house, you know, it was our music, our house. And that just at that moment, because I've been talking to an ex-teammate of mine, I was remembering those days. So that's high school to me too. Yeah.
Did you enjoy school?
I did. I enjoyed high school. You know, I did. I mean, I know you're supposed to say enjoy school, but I did. You know, I like being out of the house. You know, I like not being home. I like being out there and doing things. So, yeah. And I went to a really good high school, and they were very good to me. They're hard, but they were. I was a scholarship kid, and they really helped me. You know, they were supportive and just kind and just a great school.
Did you know what you wanted to be when you was at school?
I mean, I would have said writer. I might have said I wanted to be a writer. But then I thought, oh, I've got to make money, you know, somehow. So yeah. On those standardized tests, whenever they ask you, I'd always put lawyer or doctor, you know, because I thought they made good livings.
Yeah.
And I wasn't good enough in science to be a doctor, but I could dream. I could dream that I could be. But lawyer seemed within reach. Yeah, I could do that. But my dad was kind of a writer. Like he did write, but he also had a 9-to-5 job. And I thought I identified with that. But I really would have, my dream job would be a professional athlete. That's what I really wanted to be when I was little. I mean, basketball, baseball, or tennis would have been any of those.
So the arts wasn't even going on in your mind at this point?
Not really. I mean, in terms of being a writer, yeah. But no, not acting, not music. I was really a jock, but I was also interested in books. But I was obsessed with sports, yeah.
But you're a confident kid?
To some degree, I was confident physically. But I think I was shy. I was shy and not so confident with adults. But I think within my group, my guys, my, you know, kids my age, I was fairly confident. Yeah.
Well, we're going to stay in the formative years for track four, and I'm going to ask you to tell me, please, the first song you bought from a record store, please.
I think it was The Backfield in Motion by Mel and Tim, which is a sports related song.
So I don't know this. Tell me about this.
No, but I don't think anybody knows it. It's Mel and Tim. I think they're kind of like a Motown duo. And I haven't listened to the song in ages, but it's a gimmicky song where there's a in football, in American football, you know, not soccer, American football. There's a penalty that you can get if your backfield is in motion, which means there's only so much that people behind the quarterback can move around. I don't know how to explain it, but if you get the flag, it's backfield in motion, you get penalized. So right. Mel and Tim are doing, they're of course using it to refer to a woman's backfield. So they're saying, you know, your backfield's in motion, going to have to call a penalty on you, you know? And like to my little brain, you know, it was like, oh, football and girls. This was cool. This was a cool song.
What I was going to sort of say as well, I touched on sort of confidence there. I mean, you said that athletics was something that you was very interested in. Mm-hmm. Aside from athletics, I guess one of the other most competitive and cutthroat industries that are out there mm-hmm. is probably acting or music.
Yeah.
So confidence aside, would you say that you're driven?
Yeah. Well, I'm driven by something to kind of get stuff out, to express or to create. When I started acting, I feel like I started fairly late, you know, like 25, 26, 27, and didn't have people saying, oh man, you should be doing this. You made the right choice, dude. You know, it wasn't like that. It was like a lot of rejection. But I knew that I was doing something that was right for me. I knew that that there was some kind of true truth happening, that if I could keep on, if I kept on doing it, that somebody would see it. I'd end up working somewhere. So that was kind of a confidence, I guess, or just a knowingness of like, No, I mean, even though I'm not getting like great feedback here, there's something going on. I know I'm onto something. And I could say that with music too. Again, wasn't like anybody's saying, oh, David, you must sing. You must use that voice. It's like, it's not like that. It's like, yeah. I know I have a sense that I'm saying something or singing something that is legitimate and truthful and that some people might find it useful or valuable. So I have kind of that confidence that overrides, you know, what you may hear on the surface. In terms of like novel writing or fiction writing, I think I have genuine confidence there. And that just comes from that being the thing that I was always kind of schooled to do, you know, that again, from my father and then from my school, that's something even more so than acting and music that I'm comfortable in those clothes.
Can you remember the first time you sang in front of someone?
Yeah, I went to my grade school was an Episcopalian school, and they had a church choir, but the kids from the school were in the church choir, and they would get paid, and that was a big deal. You know, they get like $5 a month, but and the church, they cut big checks. I don't know if you know this, but like when the church gives you money, it's not like a little personal check. It's like a golf tournament check. So, I mean, I was just like, oh my God, I, you know, $5, that's, you know, and all my friends said, it's so easy. Everybody gets in. Nobody misses. They don't care. They just want bodies and you get paid. It's one Saturday, one Sunday a month, you know?
Did you think you could sing at that point?
No, I didn't think I could. I didn't know that I couldn't. But I didn't.
Yeah.
I knew that I wasn't like naturally walking around the house making sounds that everybody was going, yes, more of that, please.
Yeah, of course.
And but I went and I auditioned for the choir, and you auditioned in front of the rest of the choir, which I didn't know. So the choir was lined up, and the choir master was in front of the piano, and they were all my friends, so they were just lined up there. And the choir master sat at the piano, and he said, I'm going to play a note, and I want you to sing the note after it. And I heard, you want me to sing the note after the note you're playing? Like, literally. He'd go like, boom, and I'd go, boom. And he'd go, hmm. And he'd go like, boom, and I'd go, boom. And I just remember my friends going like, this guy's. And I just never figured out that he didn't want me to sing the note after it. He wanted me to sing the note after it. So I didn't make the choir. I got rejected, and it was very painful. I mean, it was like one of those childhood rejections that I still recall of like, oh, this is disastrous. This hurts. I mean, my life is ruined basically. You know, when you're a kid, you're just like, oh, this changes everything for the worse.
And obviously, so to move forward then, to obviously you know you become very famous, you become a household name, and then to then think, I'm going to also explore the music.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Did you tell me about that around that time when you thought, no, I'm gonna do this and I'm gonna do it properly. Like, was there ever an element of, and I say this with the greatest respect, like imposter syndrome? Like, I'm going into another domain here, and I mean that with the greatest respect. But like, just talk me through that time.
I mean, I have imposter syndrome in everything I do. I mean, I think most people do. If they're not psychotic, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Psychotics are the only ones who are sure that they're fantastic. Yeah.
Dangerously sure.
Yeah. So, I mean, I've dealt with that as an actor, as a writer. But I would say, you know, more deeply as a musician, just because I wasn't playing my whole life and I wasn't singing my whole life. So it was like, oh, this is new. But what I knew that I wanted to say something. I mean, I knew that my songs were going to be about something, at least to me. And I thought that if they were, then they'd have a chance to be about something to someone else, you know, that people might relate to them. That might be something that would give them pleasure or solace or, you know, connection, whatever.
Yeah.
And then when I started to play the guitar and then I started to hear melodies over chords that I was playing, that was a surprise to me. But it wasn't, there was nothing impostery about it because I heard them. I was like, I don't know where that's coming from. I never sang before, but I'm hearing these things and they sound pretty good. And so it was really, at first it was just like, oh, what a surprise. You know, fuck you, choir master. but it was like, it was really just for me. It was more of just one of those life lessons of, oh, you know, you really shouldn't get shut down so easily. And then I thought, especially something with music, which is so beautiful. I mean, it is odd that we get angry at people who sing badly. You know, we don't, like, if people dance badly, we don't say, get off the fucking dance floor.
Yeah.
You know, but if you're singing badly, people are like, oh, Jesus, stop that. You know, like, it's offensive in some way. It's just a very weird thing we do. We're singing is this joyous activity that we all should be doing.
100%.
And yet we shut down people who don't, do it well. And I do too. I'm like, dang, this is just, I don't like that. But at first it was just like for me and, this guy, Keaton Simons, who's an amazing writer, singer, songwriter, performer. He's a friend of mine. And he said, let's record. You know, I was writing these songs. So let's record them, you know. And so I recorded them, and it was just for me. And I met Brad Davidson, and he was like, no, these are really good. You should, you know, work harder on them. You know, like, you should work harder on your voice and see what you want to do. Let's see what we have. So it was really other people pushing me. It wasn't ever a dream that I had or an impulse that I had, mostly because, as I said, I grew up thinking I wasn't musical, so I didn't have anything to offer in that way. I knew I thought I had something to offer lyrically. I guess I was confident in that part, but the melodically and musically, that stuff that came was a big surprise, and I needed, you know, pushing to...
Yeah.
Somebody else saying, no, that's a good song. You know, I was like, really? Okay, let's keep going.
Well, for good songs, I'm going to ask you now, for the last track, David, to play Tastemaker and Influencer. And I'm going to ask you to tell our listeners a song that many people may not know that you would like them to go and listen to.
Well, I think I wrote Bowie's Stay, didn't I? All right, Stay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's another song we play live. I love playing that song. It's just it's a very different kind of a sound for Bowie. It's kind of a disco funk groove, and the lyrics are kind of enigmatic and weird in that Bowie way, but they're also very, I find them emotional, you know. He keeps on saying, you can never really tell when somebody wants something you want to. You know, it's so Bowie. And it doesn't really mean anything, but it means a lot, you know, and it's just one of those great lyrics. We can never really know when somebody wants so much to stay, you know. And then I have the song Stay Until that I wrote for this album, the new album, Gesture Land, that is using Stay in that way. But I just love the, I love the rhythm section of that song. I love the bass drum and the bass and the kind of funk guitar. It's not stuff that I could ever write. I don't play like that. I'd like to. I just haven't learned how to play those kind of funk chords and that kind of stuff, which are jazzy, I guess. But I just turn that song up.
Yeah. Well, we put together a Spotify playlist to accompany the podcast so people can go and check out all of the songs that you've chosen today. And as we find ourselves, certainly in the UK, the restrictions have been dropped. I actually got to see a concert at the O2 a couple of nights ago, which was incredible.
I played the O2. That was fun.
I mean, how fun was that? Tell me about playing the O2.
It was amazing. I have a great picture from it where everybody's, for the encore. Brought the mic out into the stands for one song, sang a ballad like amongst everybody. It was fantastic. It was probably 2-3 years ago now. But it was a big crowd for us. I mean, I don't know. It was probably like 2,000 people. And amazing. It was awesome. I loved it.
Well, with that in mind and gigs happening again, we're hoping that the latter part of 2021 is going to be a far more positive and connected time than what we've experienced over the last however long.
Yeah.
So what are you looking forward to personally from the rest of this year? And tell me what's going to be happening with the album and professionally.
Well, I mean, I'd love to go out and tour, but, you know, that's just it's a fluid situation. You know, it's no joke. It's nothing to play around with. I wish everybody would get vaccinated, and I wish until then we'd all wear masks and do what we can for each other. You know, it's not a political issue.
Absolutely.
It's a human issue. So there's that, but I'm in LA and I'm working on trying to turn my last novel into a TV show, and kind of like if I'm looking at a TV show, sometimes it can mean, you know, the next 4-5 years of my life that a lot of my time is going to be devoted to. So it's a big kind of undertaking. I don't have so many of those left in me. So it's like,
yeah,
I want to make the right choice. So I'm kind of weighing a few things, and that's all I'm doing.
And a new record.
And a new record. Yeah. On August 20th. Yeah.
Wonderful. Well, David, it's been an absolute joy talking records with you today.
I've got to go listen to Backfield Emotion again. I don't know if I'll be embarrassed or not. I think I might be.
Well, hopefully it's on Spotify and we can add it to the playlist.
Yeah.
Alongside, obviously, tracks from the new record as well. David, thank you so much for your time today. It's been a real joy, mate.
I'm looking it up on my Spotify right now. Oh, there it is.
Like, it's there.
How 70s is that? Proud noise. Starting with the chorus. Start with the hook. There you go.
You say novelty, but that sounds like a real sweet soul song.
Oh, it's a great Motown type song, but I mean novelty in the sense of like it's Backfield Emotion talking about that kind of
love it. Yeah. Wonderful, David. Thanks again, mate. It's been such a pleasure.
Thank you. Take care.
There you go. I mean, we was tight on time. I knew that when we went into that, I was told I'd be allowed 25 minutes. So. You may have missed the clubbing track, but I think we got some gold, and always lovely to talk Gimme Shelter. Go check out the tunes. Go check out, obviously, David's new record. And go check out the back catalogue of this podcast, because as I said at the beginning, there's about 320 episodes for you to go and get lost in. So go get involved. And I'll be back next time. Stay safe, you lovely people. Much love. Bye-bye.
It's Off the Beaten Track Podcast on the Distraction Pieces Network. With me, Stu Whiffin.